This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Swings the ball, has a step, drives it on Carroll. Power drive, no. Followed by Dirt, no. Dirt back to the floor to foul.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
And Nurkic is in pain. And Nurkic down. And is in absolute pain. And his teammates looking on in agony as well. And the grim look on Terry Stotts' face tells the story here.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
And they have the cast that they are bringing out.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 12:01 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Brandon Sprague in with you on this Tuesday afternoon alongside one Joseph B. Fisher.
Well, hello.
What's up, dude?
The first time ever.
It's your first time hosting day part?
Yes.
Because I think you've done weekend shows, right?
Done weekend shows, done the Hot Corner before.
That's
a couple
right.
times.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Not my first hosting experience. I would pray that the Bossman wouldn't let me do that first time, just jump onto your guys' show.
Can I fill you in on a little secret?
Please do.
It's no different than hosting a weekend show or a Thursday night show.
Something tells me it's going to go like that.
It's just a more consistent thing if you're hosting in 5 days a week versus 1 or 2 days a week.
Well, and I've said this before, what you can get away with after 7 o'clock on a Wednesday night on the Hot Corner of Baseball, probably a little bit more than what you can on this show.
Yeah.
So a little bit more free reign to go wild on there, but we'll see what happens today. I said, as long as Legos don't get brought up, I think I'll be good and won't get worked up. I think there's some other things that we can get worked up about today.
I don't think Legos is going to be involved with the show sheet today.
I hope not.
Yesterday sucked. I don't know how else to put it. Yesterday, we had a great show, a lot of fun, real good feedback from people. I was really amped because, look, the Brooklyn Nets, we brought them up a few times before, but the Brooklyn Nets are a lot of fun to watch.
Good team.
D'Angelo Russell's having a great year. He's broken away from the Lakers now, and he's found success with Kenny Atkinson. And I remember their last game, they played against each other in Brooklyn, so I was looking forward to this matchup because it was another game for Dame to continue to play at the level that he was playing at. And it was a weird but great game last night.
Yeah.
I kind of categorized it as a drunk game. Really fun, but some weird things going on. The free throw discrepancy. It was just a back and forth, good energy. I think the crowd was into it. And then we got overtime because it was one of the worst drawn up plays I've ever seen in my life with 8 seconds left to try to win it.
Yeah, questions there.
Basically, Damian Lillard got the ball on the other end of the court and didn't cross the half-court line. He threw up a terrible shot. And they go to OT. OT is physical. It's back and forth. Guess what? Another overtime. And in the second overtime, unfortunately, Kevin Calabro, do we have this cut? The Kevin Calabro-Nurkic cut, which...
we're just diving right into this, aren't we, huh?
I think we need to, man, because
Four minutes in, already breaking hearts.
Look, I don't know... I can't speak to the night Sam Bowie got hurt. I can't speak to maybe the moment everybody knew Bill Walton got hurt. All I can speak of is what I've seen and what I've experienced in my life. I don't know if there's been a worse feeling following a Blazer win than last night.
No. I mean, after that point of the injury, there was a lot of who cares? This is pointless.
That injury happened. So Yusuf Nurkic goes down last night and that injury happens. And there's still about 3 minutes to go in the second overtime.
Yeah.
And there's still a game to be played. There's still a game to be won. The Blazers win. They get their sixth straight playoff clinching season, which is a great achievement in the Western Conference. And that last 2-3 minutes, it was almost like nobody in that arena cared.
No.
Like the players still played, but you can kind of get a sense based on how they were playing that everybody had kind of been like, okay, let him get the layup. Let's not put too much pressure on him. And they get that win, and it's like nobody cared. Not in the players didn't care. The Nets didn't care that they lost. The coaches didn't care. And the fans didn't care. And you know who I actually felt, aside from Nurkic himself, the person I actually felt the worst for last night, non-Blazer related, like player, Brooke Olsendam. Because she had to go out after that game. The arena, the vibe in the arena is just shot.
No one is happy at
Nobody's
this
happy. Yeah. And Brooke Olsendam has to do a post-game interview with Seth Curry, who came up with a big moment, a steal and the free throw, and helped send that game into overtime. And she has to go out there and do an interview about like, hey, Seth, great game. What are you thinking without Nurkic?
Yeah, immediately references the injuries. And you can even see Seth, as he walks away from that injury, it was just on his mind. It was like, I had a great game. We just won. The first thing they go to is Nurkic. And honestly, sitting there last night, I'm watching that game, watching the whole game, knowing I'm coming in today, planning on, okay, talk about playoff berth, who the Blazers are going to match up. In the blink of an eye, that literally all changes. He crumples to the ground. And again, nothing else matters. All hope is lost. So I was planning, say, who we got? Thunder, Utah. What are we looking at for the playoffs now that the Blazers have that berth clinched? And that's still the case. You still have to look at that because that's inevitable. Playoffs are going to happen, so that playoff matchup will happen. But it's just all completely changed and almost seems like, what's the point? Why do we even care talking about this now? It is just a brutal timing of an injury.
Yeah, here's the Kevin Calabro cut the moment it happened.
Swings to Mo, has a step, drives in on Carroll. Power drive, no. Followed by Nurk, no. Nurk back to the floor and a foul. And Nurkic is in pain. And Nurk is down. And is in absolute pain. And his teammates looking on in agony as well. And the grim look on Terry Stotts' face tells the story here. And they have the cast that they are bringing out now at a board as well. And stunning. Absolutely stunning.
Yeah, and look, I'm not one. I've never liked looking back to back at injuries. Like if I see it, I will go, oh my, I saw it, and I'll react the way it normally is. And last night was one of those nights. I was watching it, and because I'm on delay. I stream my stuff, so I'm always on like a 40-second delay.
Right. Yeah.
So if I'm on Twitter, sometimes Twitter can ruin moments for me, like, damn, and I'd be like, what? He doesn't have the ball.
Exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Well, last night was one. I just happened to glance over at Twitter, and all I saw was a couple people say, oh, no, Nurk's holding his leg. And I thought, okay, well, maybe it's something kind of minor, and speed up. I'm watching the game, and you see that, and you instantly, you either want to throw up, or you just kind of grab the side of your head, and you just, ah! And I had that reaction of like, no, I did not need to see that. You instantly knew how bad it was. And I know I watched the post game and Hurd basically was like, you know, we don't know the full extent. We do. He's done for the year. Yusuf Nurkic is gone. And now everybody's going to contemplate, what is Portland? Is CJ McCollum's not coming back? He's not going on the road trip, the 4-game road trip they have. Dame has already come out and said he doesn't want CJ to come back for the regular season. They don't need him for that. They've clinched a playoff spot. Now it's just about where you're at in seeding. But I'm with you. I think last night it was a great night, but the injury gets in the way and you instantly can't help but go typical Portland reaction of, well, our second best player now is gone for the year.
Well, and I took your advice earlier in the season about this Blazers team because a lot of people think ahead. They think playoffs automatically and that success. And what you referenced a few months ago is if you take this team on a night-to-night basis, they're a lot of fun. They're a great team to watch. And that's how I've approached basically these last couple months. So watching that Nets game, knowing what was at stake just to get the playoff berth and taking it one at a time, that feeling has been erased because of that injury. Because again, you look at, you got 9 games left on the regular season, an away trip to kind of shore some things up. If anything, these 9 games will give you a sense of what you have going into the playoffs, what you can figure out, what you can work with in lineups, and who's going to play those minutes for Nurkic. But you say all that, and then you think about it more in-depthly. Playoffs, no Nurkic, what happened last year? And then again, just the hope kind of drains away, and you're like, what are we doing this for? And
yeah.
It's just so, I mean, devastating. That's really the number one word that you can think of. And being Portland fans, everybody realizes what this day is like. It's just another one on the list of Portland injuries throughout the last decade and a half. And it's just absolute demoralizing injury.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to dive more into this as well. The Better You Today text line is 55305. Blazers lose Yusuf Nurkic last night to the season. Your thoughts there. But before we talk more, Yusuf, let's get to what's on tap.
Nerd and Sprague know what's brewing.
I'm not paid to be bold. I'm paid to be right.
There's a lot of sporting events that you say, oh, I got to go do that.
This is What's on Tap, poured by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach on 1080. The Fan.
What's on Tap, brought to you in The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company, born at the beach, online at pelicanbrewing.com. We'll dive a little more into the Yusuf Nurkic injury and just what it means for Portland going forward. Do you lose all hope now? Do you still think Portland can win the first round without Yusuf Nurkic and maybe even potentially CJ McCollum? We've got two stops to make at the Daily Ticker. One in Boston, and the other is Tyson Alger of The Athletic. Covers the Oregon Ducks men's basketball and football programs. We actually scheduled this because, you know, you can't predict when an injury is going to happen. So Alger's going to join us at around 12:40-ish, and he's going to hang out to about 1:12. So we'll have him today for, you know, about 30 minutes.
Talking Ducks basketball, Ducks football, women's basketball, too.
Yes, yes, the ladies. I'm trying to get Sabrina Ionescu on the show. Woo-hoo. They got the tourney coming up on Friday. I'm going to that game. But Alger will join us for the Daily Ticker and then for a few segments. I want to get to the Michael Avenatti story. I didn't get to read enough about that before yesterday's show because it came out like 11 o'clock.
This is about as 2019 as it gets. Avenatti and Ducks coming together here.
Yeah, he is implicated the Oregon Ducks on cheating with Nike. And I don't think anybody's believing him. Dana Altman's already commented on that. So we'll dive into that story. Stormy Daniels' lawyer got arrested yesterday.
That story is pretty fun. I'm not going to lie.
We got NFL True or False at 1:30. Got a good one from Swigard this week. Never got to the Cam Newton story Friday or yesterday. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Does giving up sex truly help you? Anybody out there, can you give us some experience on that?
I'm going to say the Better You Today text line can probably attest that a month does nothing for you. They've gone months.
Ben Golliver wrote a piece at WashingtonPost.com on the Blazers and Yusuf Nurkic. He's going to hop on today at 2 o'clock. Talk with the former writer of Blazers Edge, Sports Illustrated, and now at the Washington Post at 2. And we'll probably bring Nurk back once again. Also, some cool feel-good baseball stories that I want to touch on. And I have a poll question at Dirt and Sprague regarding baseball that we'll get to a little bit later on. So that's what's on tap for today's show. And it's brought to you on The Fan by Pelican Brewing Company. We'll keep going with Yusuf Nurkic. Your thoughts on the Blazers season now that they've lost Nurkic. And just a couple more feelings and opinions on it as well going forward with the big man who went down with a leg injury. We'll start there. Thank you for hanging with us this Tuesday afternoon. We're back with more on 1080 The Fan. God, could there be a more fitting song with the vibe of the city than this Neil Young joint?
He didn't die, okay? Let's...
Well, that was the other thing, too. Like, look, I'm just as bummed as any Blazer fan because I wanted to see Nurkic in the playoffs, right? Like, I can think the Blazers are going to do so much, and other people can think they're going to do more, and maybe some think less. I think the one thing everybody can agree on is watching Nurk in the playoffs playing at this level that he's been all year is something we want. We wanted to see the big guy. He's been their second-best player all season. To me, it's not close. His impact on offense and defense, everything he has improved upon statistically. I wanted to see the big fella in the playoffs just to see if it was going to be a tough matchup for whoever they played, or is it the same old story? And as devastated as people were and how much that sucks, I do think we tend to go a bit far. Maybe we go farther in this city than others, but maybe we don't. Maybe this is normal. as Joe mentioned, he didn't die. I think we need to point this out. He's alive.
Yeah.
He's at a local area hospital. He's broken his leg. It was horrific. It's a disgusting injury. But he didn't die. He's going to be okay. He's still alive.
He is breathing oxygen. Blood is pumping through his body.
Well, I got to a point, Joe, last night where, by the way, Joe Fisher is hanging out in for Dirt today, Dirt Out all week. I got to a point last night where I had let it 20 minutes go by and I was about to go to bed. And I'm like, dude, screw this. I'm going out with a positive tweet. So I just tweeted something like, Dame's going to save it. He'll make it fun when we beat the Clippers, even without Nurk. I had somebody tweet me and go, too soon, man. Too soon.
Can't be talking about playoffs now.
Can't talk about the playoffs.
Come on.
He broke his leg. He didn't die. Okay, so let's move on from there. Let's hear from Damian Lillard, though, his thoughts on the Jusuf Nurkić injury last night.
Seeing something like that happen to him personally is, you know, you never want to see that for your friend or your teammate. And then especially, you know, as a player, you don't want to see him have to go through that. And, you know, it's also going to be hard on our team. You know, CJ's already out now, him having a tough injury. So every way you look at it is, you know, it was a blow. And you know, it felt like it after the game.
He continued as well with Life Without Nurk.
Bro, same team, different team. During career, post-career, you know, you're going to be friends with guys. But every little thing about the game and about the NBA season and the NBA career, you know, it's fragile. Be on the team the next one day, go on the next. You can be healthy one day, injured the next. Have a job one day, fired the next. You know, it's a lot of things about the game that's fragile, and that's one of them, and that's one of the more unfortunate ones.
Well, our fan insider Jason Quick, covering the Blazers, him and Freeman wrote good pieces on what happened last night. He had this quote. This is weird, man. This is a very Portland thing to happen. He talked to Nurkić pregame. And Nurkić gave Jason Quick this quote going into last night's matchup. What I'm most happy about is we've stayed healthy. Going into the season, I thought that was going to be a big part of what we could do. And I also like the fight we brought each night, end quote.
Well, he's right. They were healthy. They had been healthy. And then, like, this last week happened.
I just... The percentages of him giving that quote the night that injury happens, that's very Portland.
It's very sports, man. It's like you can't write this stuff. That just happened after Lillard got kicked in the knee, too.
I know. Everybody was holding their breath on the Lillard kick. He was
working his knee out. Carroll stuck it out on the three-pointer, and they got the ball back. And that literally happened 10, 15 seconds after that. So everybody sees Dame kind of running. They're like, oh, okay, all right, I think Dame's all right. Okay, we're good. And then Nurkić goes, and just like in a matter of 30 seconds, you go from hope to back to old Portland of injury woes to, all right, we're hope, Damian's all right, and to the official Portland injury woes with Nurkic's injury.
Well, where do we go here from now? Like, there's two sides. There's no other sides. There's two. There's still hope and thoughts that everybody steps up. They're in the playoffs, and if they get a good favorable matchup in round one, whether that's being the 4, the 5, the 6, what have you, they can still win a first round matchup. Or there's the other side, which I think has far more people in it. The season's done. That this is over.
Right. I go back and forth with the Blazers so many times because I feel like I fall on both sides of the coin where it's championship or bust. If you're playing in the professional sports, you want to win a championship. So as fans, as people following the team, why wouldn't you want to root for that success and want them to win a championship? Was it going to happen this year, even with Nurkić? Probably not, but better chances of making a Western Conference Finals, making things interesting. You have an injury like this, and it just completely takes away what you thought was going to happen and your expectations and everything. And I very much tend on the side of the people, like, show me it when it happens. Blazers got swept last year. Do I think they can get out of the first round? No, because they haven't been able to do it for the last 2-3 seasons. I mean, everyone forgets that Grizzlies series from a few years ago. That was a first round when CJ had his first kind of playoff.
Gentleman sweep.
Exactly, yeah. So it's like it kind of falls into that, well, hey, we can have hope. They're a lot different this year. But honestly, it feels like, well, show me. Prove it. Prove me wrong. Until then, until that happens, I will then stand there and say, great, they did it. The guy stepped up. Aminu, Harkless, Lehman, all of them. But I don't show me it. Yeah. When it happens, I'll believe it.
I just,
I guess this, the playoffs, I'm looking way beyond.
Right.
There was already uncertainty as to what the future of Neil Olshey, Terry Stotts was based on how this season finished out. Now it's been, to a certain degree, taken out of their hands because you don't have a trade deadline. Who knows if there's some veteran guy out there they could, you know, sign for just to have another body there to practice and have in case with some playoff experience. But this is where you need ownership, quite frankly. And so we don't know who's calling
not
the
a real
shots.
Owner. Yeah.
Sheesh.
And I don't expect to see Nurk all of next season.
Well, that's, you know, I'm glad you said that.
8 to 9 month sort of recovery situation. Even if he comes back for a little bit at the end, what kind of shape is he? I mean, he's going to be off this yes. thing for 3 or 4 months.
Yep. Yep. And that's the important thing is we talked about this pre-show and Swagger made a good point of, remember when he came from Denver, he was severely out of shape. He didn't play with right. the Nuggets. Jokic had taken his spot. He had gotten to a point where both sides were not happy. He wanted out. And as good as he was, like the Nurk fever stuff started, remember how gassed he got at the end of a lot of those games. And then eventually he ended up breaking his leg and missing, I think he only played like a half of the one playoff game. But that's the other thing that I think is more important, right? Like, I can say, well, I don't think the Blazers have a chance to win a playoff series. Somebody else could say, well, they still have a shot because Dame is amazing. That's not important to me. I think Swigard is hitting the most important part. And the most important part is, what's the injury timeline here? Because I'm seeing a lot of Twitter doctors and people that want to self-diagnose their opinion on it and say, well, Paul George was out 247 days and then he came back. Paul George is also 6'6", 210 pounds, 20 pounds.
Yeah, not a 7 foot, almost 300 pound specimen.
And the Swag's right. When he sits, how is he going to not gain weight? Like, this dude is going to gain a couple pounds. And I'm not saying he's not going to be a hard worker when he comes back. He will be. I think he's proven that. And I want the big guy to get back to what he was. But the reality also is, it seems like such a Debbie Downer thing to say. There's a good shot we never see Yusuf Nurkic at that level again. And quite frankly, I'm not going to be one that just assumes he comes back at Thanksgiving. I saw somebody tweet something ridiculous like,
that is ridiculous.
Well, right now it's looking like Hugh could be back by Thanksgiving. No, you don't rush a 7-1 guy back who's almost three bills. You sit him. And oh, by the way, something to keep in mind when people talk about the timelines of Hayward and George, not all injuries are the same, even if they actually are diagnosed as the same. Bodies heal differently. People operate differently. And an important part to remember is, Gordon Hayward's had a god-awful season. Paul George had a bad season last year. They both have basically taken an entire year of actually playing in the NBA to try to find some semblance. Now, Gordon Hayward next year has a shot to show us, all right, it took him a year. He got kind of in the groove of things. He understood what his body was post-injury because Paul George reached an MVP level this year.
Right.
Yusuf Nurkic, even if he comes back, it's not a given to me that he's suddenly good again. He might struggle. He really might. And I think people need to think about that of, even though the timelines of these injuries say this guy will be back next year, this is not a given as a 7-1 guy who has already dealt with leg injuries. You know, not everybody is built to have a 14-year career. And I'm not telling you he's done playing. He's not. He's going to rehab and work his ass off. What I'm saying is, don't be surprised if he comes back late next year. And then when he plays, it's nowhere near the same. Don't suddenly be like, well, he's shot. Some players take a year. Maybe he will, maybe he won't. But I think that is the most important part of the whole storyline is if they get knocked in the first round, and it's rather quickly because CJ's still kind of banged up dealing with his knee thing and there's no Nurkic.
Follow the Pelicans model of just doubling Dame for the whole series.
Well, if CJ's not playing, I don't know why you wouldn't.
Exactly.
I mean, what happened last night when they doubled Dame past half court?
Yep.
Nobody even moved to get open.
Had to throw up that prayer.
So what the future holds for this franchise, I think Swigard hit 100% on, and that's what I wondered was, what's the timeline for this guy really? And what is the moves in the next 2 years? You know, if he doesn't play most of next year and then comes back the following season, we don't know what level he'll be at. And then you're kind of just looking at it like, okay, Dame has one more year on a contract and he said he wants to stay here. And I believe him, but it's just a lot at stake right now. And that was really the unfortunate part is this season has been up. It's been down. It's been fun. It's been a little sad. And a lot of us differ on what we think this team will accomplish. Well, all of that's just gone out the window now. And now we're sitting here wondering, what is the future of the franchise? Long-term. What's the future of the coach? What's the future of the GM? What's the future of the superstar on the team?
Well, it's almost, and this was the make or break season playoffs. And now that you're not going to get the full product this playoffs, it almost leaves a question mark and almost gives Olshay and this squad another year or two to figure things out. They're going to get the benefit of the doubt. Well, they didn't have Nurkic in the playoffs. CJ wasn't 100%. You know you're going to hear that in the offseason.
Yes.
You can already hear it coming out of Neil's mouth, like, well, we weren't at our best.
He's not wrong in that sense of they did suffer catastrophic injury, and if CJ doesn't get to play in the postseason, an unfortunate injury.
So
he won't be wrong there. I'm not going to go on the radio show and like, oh, here's Neil making excuses. No, the reality is this team did suffer injuries. I'm going to be more interested to see when people like Jace or Joe or Dwight or whoever ask him questions about the future. That's what I think we all need to be listening to of Nurkic's timeline and what the future truly holds for the Portland Trailblazers the next 2 years. Okay, we're way against it. Good thoughts, the better you today. Text line 55305. We're going to dive back into this. Don't worry. It's a big story. Yusuf Nurkic lost for the year last night with a bad injury. But coming up next, we got the Daily Ticker, and then we talked to Tyson Alger for a couple segments on Oregon spring football and obviously the men's basketball team and women's basketball team, both in the Sweet 16. We'll do those things next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
This is the Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in 12:36 on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Thank you for being with us on this Tuesday afternoon. Beautiful here in Portland, Oregon. I know the injury sucks, but at least the weather's good. All right, our first stop to make. We scheduled this yesterday, and I know people are still thinking about Yusuf Nurkic, but we'll come back to that and we'll transition out of the NFL. The big story yesterday was that Rob Gronkowski announced his retirement from the National Football League after 9 seasons. So Chris Price, our good friend from the Boston Sports Journal, joining us now on the MVP HomeLoans.com Guild Hotline. Chris, man, I hope you had a good vacation. I know it's been a while since we talked. Were you surprised at all that Rob Gronkowski decided to hang him up? Because I guess the players came out and some of them said they were surprised.
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I thought that he would, you know, kind of run it back for one more year. He is under contract for the 2019 season, or was under contract for the 2019 season. And I had this image of Tom Brady calling him up and saying, all right, big guy, let's take one more run at this thing before he ultimately decided to ride off into the sunset. So I was a little bit surprised that he did end up calling it a career. But the big conspiracy theory now is that he is going to come back late in the 2019 season and, you know, be ready for the playoffs. Because as we know, when it comes to Rob Gronkowski, not all snaps are created equal. It's going to be interesting to see how it all develops over the course of the 2019 season.
Yeah, I think we saw that last year where he sat out a couple games, and then when he came back, he won the same. And then in the playoffs, he steps up and he looks like old Gronk again. Where would you make your wager? Would you say he is going to come back late in the season to help them in a playoff run? Or do you think this is the real deal? He is out. And everybody, by the way, has pointed out, I guess he's eligible for the Hall of Fame in 69 months. His touchdown percentage is .069. Like, everything's lining up with his favorite number. Do you buy that he's really gone?
There are no coincidences when you talk about Rob Gronkowski, right? No, I think I put it right now, honestly, as we sit here in, late March, I would say there's a 15 to 20% chance that he ends up playing for the Patriots sometime in 2019. If that call comes, I think it's going to be from Brady. And look, if the Patriots passing game is struggling in November and they're just above 500 and whoever they have in that role is having a hard time, whether it's, you know, Jacob Hollister, they go out and they draft or, you know, a rookie or whatever the case may be, I wouldn't be surprised if they do make that call. But right now, like I said, I'd probably put it between 15 and 20% that he comes back at some point in the 2019 season.
Well, and Chris, Gronk is amazing, no doubt. Hall of Famer, one of the best tight ends of all time. But as mentioned, like the injuries, he's been somewhat inconsistent in the regular season, turns it on in the postseason. Are Patriot fans and them, are they, obviously they're bummed about losing Gronkowski. That is a great tight end. But are they all that worried about it because of how great the Patriots have been before and even when he's not with the team?
Well, I think they're kind of reserving judgment at this point because, as we said before, you know, there's a lot of talk about him coming back at some point in 2019. There's also a feeling that because Gronk retired and they moved some money around, they do now have a lot of room underneath the cap. And so that might clear the way for a trade on the offensive end. You know, there's a handful of wide receivers out there who are, you know, free agents after 2019 that they could get relatively cheaply. Guys like Emmanuel Sanders, you know, he's a possibility, I think. There are some possibilities out there when you're talking about the Patriots, which give people a little bit of hope because you're still talking about an offense that, look, as we said before, Gronk wasn't the central figure. The passing game didn't run through him this year, but you still have, you know, Julian Edelman, you still have James White, you still have a handful of guys on that offense who have a history with Brady, have an ability to connect with him, and an ability to keep moving the chains. They also got a great year, rookie year, out of Sony Michel, too, when they kind of transitioned into more of a run-first team in 2018. So I think the Patriots offense prides itself on being multiple and versatile, and they have an ability to shift and evolve and change over the course of the weeks. I would be shocked if that was not the case going forward. I expect them to continue to be that versatile, that multiple in 2019 and beyond.
Yeah, Chris Price, our guest, C. Price NFL. He's Boston Sports Journal following the New England Patriots. He's been following the entire dynasty run that they've had, is our guest. The Robert Kraft statement also was released, Chris. And look, I don't know where to come down on this story because they say they have video evidence of it and he wouldn't accept their deal. And then he sent out a statement that apologized but didn't really cope to doing it. So I'm kind of confused where this sits today.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. We're going to talk about some interesting stuff going forward. It's going to be interesting to see how all of this plays out, not just when it comes to what happens with him as it relates to the team, as it relates to the quote-unquote real-world circumstances around this situation, but as a result, you know, what happens with his standing amongst the owners, you know, and specifically what happens with his presence around the team. Is he going to be there when the Patriots drop the banner on that Sunday night game? Is he going to be around the team? Is he going to be a part of the team? Or is he going to have to kind of start to recede a little bit into the background? The one thing, if you're a Patriots fan, again, setting aside the very real-world implications of all of this, I'm just looking at it from a purely football perspective, there is a clear succession plan in place. His son Jonathan has taken more and more of a leadership role over the last decade or so. And so if Robert Kraft does end up stepping away for 6 games, 8 games, 12 games, whatever the case may be, we're going to see his son Jonathan become more and more of the public figure, the face of the franchise that Kraft has been over the course of his tenure as the owner of the Patriots.
Now, this is a little bit different situation than the Aaron Hernandez from a few years ago. But I mean, if there's any franchise that can almost skirt any sort of negative press, I mean, would it be the Patriots? I mean, that Aaron Hernandez death, that was, we're talking about murder on that end. So, I mean, the Patriots, they look like they might be the team that or franchise that could take care of some bad press.
Yeah. And again, I'll say this too, and it's important to note because we've seen franchises go through transitional phases in ownership before. And it's clear right now that New England has a transitional plan in place. Now, granted, the transitional plan is, you know, Robert Kraft is getting older and the idea that they would start to naturally move toward the sun regardless of what happens. But this might accelerate the process a little bit more. So, yeah, I think when you're talking about, you know, figuring out a way to handle quote-unquote bad press, I think that New England has really written the book on it in a lot of ways. You know, their franchise at the players' entrance, they have a big sign at the players' entrance that says ignore the noise. And the Patriots have done a better job than just about anyone else in the National Football League over the last 20 or so years of doing that.
Yeah. Chris Price, Boston Sports Journal, C. Price NFL on Twitter. Always so gracious with his time out here on the West Coast. Chris, thank you so much for stopping in, doing a hit on Gronk and Robert Kraft. We appreciate it, my man.
Sounds good. Take care, guys.
All right, there we go. Great stuff from Chris Price. Yeah, scheduled that yesterday. Again, not knowing Yusuf Nurkic was going to snap his leg in the Nets game. So obviously, time-wise, that may have been like, they're talking Pats on the day that Nurkic got injured. No doubt about it. All right, we were going to go to Tyson Alger there, but we're up against it. So coming up next, Tyson Alger of The Athletic, Oregon Duck beat writer. He's going to join us for 2 segments. We'll talk Duck football, Duck basketball. We'll jump back into Yusuf Nurkic. A lot of thoughts at the Better You Today text line on that and on Twitter as well. All of that ahead on Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan. 1247 on The Fan. Welcome back in. We're awaiting Tyson Alger of The Athletic talk Oregon Duck football and men's basketball. Women's basketball as well will be here Friday.
Yeah, catch the fever. And just Oregon women's basketball.
Yes.
Not Oregon State.
Joe thought earlier Oregon State was going to be here.
Shut the hell up.
Oregon women.
No.
Because he didn't remember that the Oregon State ladies were going to Albany, New York. And so I had to correct him. We looked up everything, and now we're all straight there.
Yeah, that's exactly how it went down.
Quick side note before we get Tyson on. I will not be out at Baseballism. Our show will not be there. It will just be Isaac and Zook.
Tier.
Yeah, they found out. They're like, oh, wait, Dirt and Sprague want to come out here? We hate those dudes.
Wait,
they're not coming back.
No Dirt? Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I don't want the non-baseball guy here. That's disgusting. No, it was just a miscommunication. So Isaac and Suk will be out there from 3 to 7 out of Baseballism. Kick-ass store, kick-ass equipment. And
they play wiffle ball right in the store, I hear.
They do. They got a cool game.
Got to check that out.
All right, let's get back on track a little bit here. Tyson Alger joining us now on the MVP HomeLoans.com Guild Hotline, The Athletic. He's the Oregon Duck beat writer. Tyson, thanks for the time, man. Sorry we couldn't get you on in the last segment. We were up against it. I'll just start with... Oregon's had some breaks go their way a little bit in this tournament. They've also played really, really well. How do you feel about this matchup against Virginia in the Sweet 16?
You know, it's tough to really gauge it because, you know, there's still part of me that watched Oregon play for 80% of this season. And, like, you're still kind of waiting for, you know, you keep thinking that at some point that's going to rear its head, but it just hasn't over the last, you know, month and a half. And when you're looking at this matchup with how well Oregon has played through the first two games, I think Oregon, out of all the teams in the tournament right now, has looked the most impressive in those two games. And out of the one seeds, Virginia certainly has not. And so, I mean, obviously that this is a very talented team they're going up against. And, you know, I was down here in Eugene today, you know, speaking with Dana Altman during his press conference. And, you know, he just kind of went down the list of, you know, it's not just one player, not two. They got three or four very good players on that Virginia team. But, I mean, it's the way Oregon's defense is playing right now, and especially the way that, like, Kenny Wooten's just blocking every single thing that comes within the vicinity. I wouldn't bet against them, you know?
Was it safe to put them in the Final Four at this point? I mean, I'm with you. Like, we watched a lot of these games this year, and they didn't look good. Like, they were inconsistent. They weren't clicking. And then they turned the corner. They won eight in a row, including the conference tourney. And now they've won their first two games in it. They're in the Sweet 16. You get past Virginia, you're getting what? Tennessee or was it Purdue? I believe it's Purdue. Is that it?
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, those, I mean, if you get past Virginia, like, all bets are off here. I was talking to Matt Preem today from 247 down here, and we were just saying, like, it would be just ridiculous if they made it to the Final Four, because, you know, when you think about that last Oregon team that made the Final Four, like, you know, that thing took 3 years to build, and you have names that are kind of household names in Oregon basketball lore now, and you think of how good that team was and how good they were from the start of the season and even in the season before. It would just be wild for them to match that Final Four with this roster, and that's no disrespect to this team, but this was a bad basketball team just a month ago. You know, it's crazy.
Well, Tyson, and before the season started, I think the number that's getting thrown around, they had the fourth best odds to make the Final Four, and obviously how the season's played out, making the Final Four now, it seems like a dream come true, and even getting to the Sweet 16, and as far as the season that they well has been an accomplishment. How has it been down in Eugene, those expectations kind of shifting? Like I said, Final Four at the beginning of the season, expected. Now it's almost like if we make it, that would be a dream come true. That'd be amazing. How's it been, those expectations shifting down there?
Yeah, it's kind of funny how it played out because, I mean, coming into this year, you had, you know, a lot of pieces returning. You had Pritchard coming back. You had Wooten coming back. And then you were adding King and Bol Bol, who, you know, frankly, I think everybody was thinking about Kenny Wooten and Bol Bol being, you know, Boucher and Bell 2.0 here. And then I think Bol and King played 20 minutes together on the floor this entire season. And when Bol went down and then when Kenny went down, you just kind of figured this was another lost season and, you know, maybe hope they all come back next year and they can put something together. So I think at that point it was kind of all the expectations are gone and anything that comes after is gravy. But it is kind of funny that You know, the word Cinderella has been thrown around a little bit here with this Oregon team, which is kind of pretty funny considering the amount of money and popularity that the Ducks have. I mean, they are the lowest remaining or highest or however you want to do that remaining seed in the tournament at number 12. But their glass slippers certainly have swooshes on them. So, you know, this it's just funny because this team was picked to win the Pac-12 at the start of the year. I don't think anybody would have been surprised to see them in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. And then that all just came crashing down to the halt, and it feels like a completely different season now.
Well, we've got Tyson Alger, by the way, our guest, Oregon Duck beat writer for The Athletic. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Tyson Alger. You know, the other part around the men's basketball program, whether it's a Final Four, Elite Eight, or maybe it comes to an end against Virginia, all of those are fun conversations to think about because of who this team has been. But one side effect of coming back to Eugene and something popping up today was Michael Avenatti just throwing out there that Bol Bol got this money from Nike, and that's the reason he's at Oregon. What did Dana Altman have to say about that, and does something like that even impact this team?
You know, I don't think so. So we talked to Altman about that this morning. Essentially, he just said he wasn't, you know, well versed enough on it to make any sort of like official comment. But, you know, then he went on to say that it's incredibly doubtful and, you know, all those sort of things, essentially denying it. I did ask if Bol will come with them on the trip going forward. And he said yes, kind of gave a why wouldn't he sort of thing. So, you know, I think this is just going to be business as usual. It is funny, though, when you do think of, at the start of the season, I'm pretty sure one of Altman's first press conferences of the year was when all the court proceedings were happening in New York, and Oregon's name was kind of being drugged through that a little bit. And so, you know, it's kind of bookending the two parts of the season here. And while the stuff that did come out today, you know, it's definitely concerning, but, you know, it is a very probably, I would say, untrustworthy source. That's not to say it's not true or false. I have no information regarding any of that, but it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, you know, they'll get through this news cycle, and probably by the time they're playing against Virginia, probably most people have forgotten about it.
Yeah, if you look at Michael Avenatti's Wikipedia page, you could probably make the assumption that he's somewhat of a sleazy guy. But just getting like back to the basketball, Bol Bol, obviously, he's going to probably go to the NBA maybe after the season. But Kenny Wooten, he has just exploded during the conference tournament and this NCAA tournament. Seems like every possession down the floor, he's blocking a shot. The NBA prospects, like, that has to be ramping up a little bit for him now. When you can see a guy jump out of the gym like that, and, of course, doing it on the national stage, what are the talks about Kenny Wooten possibly going to the NBA this season, I mean, after the performances that he's putting on?
You know, I really think he needs another year, and that's not to say that Wooten's a bad NBA prospect or anything. Yeah, you know, I don't think there's many GMs in the country who wouldn't take a flyer on a kid who can jump like that. You know, I think his leaping ability is right up there with Zion's, and in terms of players remaining in this tournament, it's pretty uncanny, and that's really kind of gotten him through to this point in his basketball career. Wooten didn't grow up playing a lot of organized basketball. You know, he played a lot of kind of playground and park games, and it wasn't really until, you know, his freshman sophomore year of high school where he actually started to kind of like learn the intricacies of the game. And kind of up until maybe even the start of this year, he was just able to get by on just being able to jump higher and swat harder than anybody else on the team. But, you know, Altman has been very complimentary of the way that his offensive game has rounded out, and his kind of his timing on the defensive end and knowing when to go for those sort of things. But those are all things that I think could really, you know, develop more with one more year in the system, because he's still a very raw player. I mean, he's very good right now. I mean, he's been one of the most, if not the most impactful player in the tournament right now for Oregon. But it would be really cool to see, you know, very similar to what Jordan Bell did in his third year at Oregon. I mean, Bell was pretty good for the Ducks as a sophomore, but we all saw that leap that he took during his third season, and I really do think Wooten would benefit from that.
Who would you bet on? We're up against it here, but we want to hang out and talk some football with you. Who would you bet on, though, to go further in the tournament, the Lady Ducks or the men's team?
Sabrina's really good, man.
Yeah, she's a freaking baller.
Triple-double machine.
I don't think I'm breaking news here, but I'm, I, That women's team is incredible. I watched their game on Sunday, and I don't know who beats them. So,
yeah. Hey, got to give props to the men's and women's. The only team or school with a team in the men's and women's Sweet 16 this year.
Is that true?
Yeah. Went through the list and doing pretty good. So.
There you go. Tyson, you good to come back for one more segment, talk some spring football?
Yeah, I guess.
Okay. Oh, thank you so much. I know this is really a hassle for you. We appreciate it. Tyson Aldridge going to hang out. Hour two just ahead. We'll dive back into Nurkic. We got NFL true or false, but we're going to kick it off talking Oregon spring football. Tyson Aldridge will hang out, and he'll join us next hour two on The Fan.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.